I'm particularly looking at the impacts of climate change on the rights of people, and that's a big area. And I've broken that up into thematic issues. So I'm currently looking at the issue of climate change displacement and how that's affecting human rights. I'll be looking at climate change litigation. I'll be looking at the corporate responsibility. So these are all interconnected issues.
So you mentioned displacement, and earlier this month, the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, announced that global displacement was at a record high. 110 million people have had to flee their homes as of 2023, and many have been displaced by drought and extreme weather events, but those who cross international borders because of climate change-related events are not defined as refugees. So what should be done to ensure their protection?
So these people fall through the cracks as far as current protection is concerned. I'm suggesting that we need to think about an international legal approach to deal with these people. And I'm suggesting that perhaps we could look at an optional protocol under the Refugee Convention to give legal protection to people displaced by climate change. This doesn't disturb the Refugee Convention, but it gives another option of giving similar forms of protection to people displaced by climate change.
You're going to present your report to the Human Rights Council in a few hours' time. Could you tell us what your main message will be to the member states of the Council this afternoon?
The critical issue is about people being displaced across international borders. They're suffering all sorts of human rights abuses, from trafficking to sexual abuse. So I'm really hoping that countries will grasp this issue and say, yes, we need to do something to protect those people, and hopefully initiate a program for legal measure to give protection to those people.
And in your work, you've been emphasizing the concept of intergenerational justice as related to climate change and human rights. Could you explain this idea and tell us how the international community can pursue this?
So we need to ensure that whatever we do now protects the rights of future generations. And so we have to enshrine that concept. Intergenerational equity is a concept that's been around for quite a long time, since Stockholm, 50 years ago. But we've never really enshrined that in international law to give specific rights to future generations. And so I'm looking at ways to do that.
What is the response so far that you've seen from member states when you talk about this issue in particular?
I think a lot of states realize that we have to think about future generations. I haven't presented my report on this issue yet, so I'm still waiting to hear. But I think there is progressing legislation in many countries.
And in 2022, in a report to the General Assembly, you proposed modalities for what a loss and damage fund could look like. So how would this work, and has this idea moved forward since?
So at the last climate change conference of parties, parties agreed to establish a loss and damage fund and set up a sort of year-long process to negotiate the modalities of that fund. I'm particularly interested in the sources of the fund, because if we just look at the enormous impacts of climate change, we're talking in the order of billions of dollars. We only have to look at the impacts that Pakistan suffered last year from floods, which was in the order of billions of dollars worth of damage. So we have to find a fund that is innovative and finds innovative sources of funding, and that's what I'm interested in looking at.
You mentioned the connection of the private sector, of the corporate business world, to these issues. Are they mobilizing on these topics, and could they be a source of funding?
Well, I think we have to look at the private sector more for funding. Oil-producing companies are making enormous profits at the moment, and so we need to tap into those profits and say, based on the polluter pays principle, you have to put something towards the people who are being affected by climate change. So I think there is a big opportunity for the private sector to provide sources of funding for this fund.
And do companies seem interested in engaging on this?
Some are. I think there's obviously pushback from the fossil fuel exporting countries and companies around this issue. But I think we have to come to the table on this. Otherwise, they're going to face court cases, and there will be reparations from those court cases. So it's better to come to the table first and offer something to give to this fund.
The latest IPCC report seems to have been a final warning to accelerate climate action. What gives you hope that the international community can step up before it is too late?
Civil society realizes that climate change is such a critical issue. We know it's having significant impacts on human rights, and people are rising to that concern. We're also seeing business taking action. And I think the movement globally to take action on climate change is progressing. I seriously think with that combined action of civil society and governments and business, there is hope. There is an opportunity to try and get us within that 1.5 degrees Celsius level.